Japanese car makers prepare to restart production.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. There's word this morning that after a halt in car production following the earthquake and tsunami in Japan, things are about to start back up again. Both Toyota and Nissan are announcing plans to resume operations. Marketplace's Gregory Warner joins us live with more. Hi, Gregory.
Hi, Jeremy.
So Toyota and Nissan both say they're going to open back up for production, but only at half capacity.
That's right. That's right. So if you figure a car has maybe 20,000 parts, Toyota and Nissan have to get those parts from suppliers around Japan. And many of those suppliers are still in crisis mode. I called Hans Grimmel. He's the Asia editor of Automotive News.
I mean, last night, for example, here in Tokyo, we had a big aftershock. And it sent blackouts across most of northeastern Japan. So that's a bunch of factories that were just knocked out of commission overnight.
And he says that's just the electricity problem. There's also gasoline shortages, road closures, and other transportation problems that suppliers are dealing with.
And what does all this mean for the global supply chain?
Well, it's good news. If Toyota and Nissan can get their factories up and running, even at half capacity, it means they feel those parts are available. But experts say that factories outside of Japan haven't yet felt the full impact of the part shortage. They've been managing with back inventory, stuff shipped before the earthquake. So if Toyota is at half capacity now and this shortfall continues, then factories at other countries in other countries could be at half capacity by later this month.
Marketplace's Gregory Warner, thanks.
Thanks.
Well, a major insider trading case on Wall Street moves into its next phase on Monday. That's when hedge fund billionaire Raj Rajaratnam will mount his defense in court. As Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports, in its recent crackdown on insider trading, the government is relying on good old-fashioned phone taps for evidence.
We know, because one of our guys is on the board, we know that they're going to put $41 million in escrow.
That's Galeon founder Raj Rajaratnam. He's accused of illegally making millions from insider tips.
Some of the most powerful evidence that the government's presented has been Mr. Rajaratnam's own voice on recorded conversations. Mr. Rajaratnam has, in effect, testified against himself.
Joe Grundfest teaches corporate governance at Stanford Law School. He says the government has stepped up its game against insider trading, using techniques that had been reserved for organized crime, and that has sent shockwaves through Wall Street.
The government is being more aggressive in building its cases by using wiretaps and other forms of evidence. And there's no doubt that people will change their tactics in response to the government's evolving enforcement techniques as well.
Whether bad behavior on Wall Street really changes could depend on whether the government can get its cases to stick. If convicted, Rajaratnam faces up to 20 years in prison. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up across Europe right now as officials hash out the details of Portugal's bailout. Portugal's going to have to cut spending as part of any deal. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow dropped 17 to close at 12,409.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. By MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. And by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best. The Knowledge Effect.
The latest on the government shutdown comes from one of the top Democrats in the House, Steny Hoyer, this morning. He says lawmakers are very close to a deal on the budget, but there's no deal yet. Well, if there is a shutdown, the Obama administration says get ready for more trouble in the housing market. The Federal Housing Administration, which insures about 20% of new home loans, would stop backing mortgages. There is one part of the mortgage market that is famously free from the government. It's called MERS, and it allows the mortgage industry to buy and sell loans without recording transactions at the courthouse. From WFAE in Charlotte, Greg Collard explains.
The land records in Salem, Massachusetts date back to 1634. The local register of deeds, John O'Brien, says homeowners used to know which banks owned their mortgage. But 60% of the mortgages closed today are owned by something called Mortgage Electronic Registration Systems, or MERS. And O'Brien says it's muddled the land records system.
I can't honestly look people in the eye who have a mayor's mortgage and tell them who owns their mortgage, and that troubles me.
He says he can't track these mortgages anymore. MERS takes over once the deed is filed at the courthouse. All future transactions are tracked in the private MERS database instead of the courthouse. It's been that way since the mid-90s.
That was a time when securitization was just starting up in a meaningful way and mortgage volume was increasing.
Increasing so much, says Kurt Fotenhauer of the American Land Title Association, that courthouse technology couldn't keep up. So his group and other major players in the mortgage industry joined the big banks to create MERS.
The primary motivator was to keep up with the volume, but that does have a financial element to it.
Like no more recording fees when mortgages are sold to investors. In Salem, John O'Brien says it's a loss of $75 a pop. O'Brien estimates his county has lost at least $48 million. But even more important, he says MERS is an enabler. It's run by the country's biggest banks, and O'Brien says it allows them to keep risky transactions secret, the type of deals that got us in the trouble we're in today.
I think this is just a scheme that was put together, again, to hide from the public and not to pay fees. It's as simple as that.
MERS officials wouldn't agree to an interview, but maintain it's not necessary to record assignments at the courthouse because MERS remains the mortgage owner no matter how many times a loan is sold to investors. That claim is now the subject of several court cases. In Charlotte, I'm Greg Collard from Marketplace.
And finally, turns out shopping makes you live longer. Seriously, scientists in Taiwan studied about 2,000 people over the age of 65 for a 10-year period and found that those who shopped every day were 27% less likely to die during the study period compared with those who didn't shop as often. Scientists say shoppers benefited mostly, though, from companionship and exercise associated with shopping. So, in other words, window shopping is just as healthy as actual shopping, and a little cheaper, too. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Covering the economy is a 24/7, 365 kind of thing. Every Friday, we get a little help from our friends.
We were sinking fast, and we had no idea whether the world was coming to an end or not.
Oil goes high enough, people stop driving, they stop buying cars, they stop going out to eat.
There are bumps in the road, but consumers are starting to feel better.
I'm Bob Moon, the Weekly Wrap, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.